ready, Mace?
Party people, in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Yeah.
Welcome in, live from Titans training camp on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising hanging out here with you at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day. Buccaneers and Titans out on the field for joint training camp practices, and we are hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. We're happy to have you. Taylor Lewan is going to be on the show at about 11:15, so we'll hang out. I'm sure that's going to go well. You think that's going to go smoothly?
Why wouldn't it?
There are a great many reasons why that may not go. why that may not necessarily be smooth.
Hand over the dump button, please, Brett, whenever that comes around.
Yeah,
I'll be ready.
That's got to stress both of you out.
Oh, I'm good. It's not on me anymore.
How do you feel about that, Brett Batzler, back in the
studio? I'm prepared. I'm ready for it.
Be prepared. Kirby, if you wouldn't mind turning me up just a tad in my ear. Thank you, buddy. Kirby Allen Kirby's out here. We are excited to be doing the show out here today. Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, will also come over and give us some practice observations as we kind of see who rebounds, who stands out in day two of these joint training camp practices. If you want to jump in on the show, you are more than welcome to do so. 615-737-1045 is the number, 615-737-1045. What are you looking forward to most? What matchups are you most interested in seeing? As it looks like we're getting ready for another round of 11-on-11 work between the Titans' first-team offense and Bucks' first-team defense. Lucas and I kind of split it up a little bit this morning to go watch some individual work, but we both ended up at the same place watching running backs for the Titans and linebackers for the Buccaneers in pass protection this morning, bud.
Yeah, a little bit of tight end work in there, matched up with linebackers. Devin White was beat on a play by, I believe it was Chigakonkwo, and got chewed out a little bit by his linebackers coach. I believe that's who that was, standing behind that drill, barking at Tampa Bay linebackers. But Malik Willis getting some work in, zipping some short-range balls into the end zone, and Hassan Haskins got a few good reps in. And interesting to see Derrick Henry. I think that was the first time we've seen him get any work against somebody in another color jersey.
Yeah,
getting some blocking work in on that drill.
Yeah, so that, I don't expect Derek to do too tremendously much. All right, we got 7-on-7 as opposed to 11-on-11 as Tannehill hits NWI in the back of the end zone. I couldn't tell. 26 in coverage. Logan Ryan.
Yeah, that's Logan Ryan.
Okay, you want to? So did you see the Logan Ryan play?
Yeah, I have seen it now. A to Z Sports got the video of it. Kyle Phillips put him on skates a little bit.
It was. I forgot Logan was on the Buccaneers yesterday. He's had, two different stops since he left the Titans at this point. And he's playing safety now here, or for Tampa Bay. He got left on an island with Kyle Phillips, who, again, against linebackers.
Oh, here's Burks in the end zone. Just caught a ball from Tannehill.
Flag on the play. I couldn't see if it was a little bit of defensive pass interference, it looked like, or a push-off on Burks, because obviously that's the thing that they're going to be working on him with a great deal. But Treylon Burks participating in 7-on-7, he did not go through the 1-on-1 drills earlier, and he did not do individual work, but did warm up with the team. So it looks like it's going to be he's going to appear in spurts throughout the course of the Titans practice day, and we'll be able to track how much he has or has not done throughout the course of the show. I just got a text from Brett Batchelor that said, the CBS music is ready for y'all when you want it. So go ahead and hit the music and let's do a little trolling this morning. Ah, yes. It's no longer the SEC game of the week that this music introduces. Lucas, I've never seen you quite this triggered this morning for the announcement of a new media rights deal between CBS, NBC, Fox, and the Big Ten. What are the reported details on this that you brought us?
Through gritted teeth, I say that the Big Ten has landed a historic media rights deal less than 2 months after adding USC and UCLA. Fox, CBS, NBC, Peacock, FS1, 7 years, starting July 1st, 2023, through June 30th, 2030. And sources saying it is worth between $7 billion and $8 billion. So that's about $1 billion per year. Now, the caveat, the contract includes an escalator clause, according to Brett McMurphy, meaning the deal could approach nearly $10 billion if the Big Ten's membership increases. So allowing some wiggle room there for further expansion, which the Big Ten still wants to do.
It makes me think of the Dr. Evil line, you know, $10 billion. He puts his pinky finger up by his mouth.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, like, this is supervillain money.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Northwestern and Rutgers running out of the tunnel to that music on a 2:30 kickoff?
Yeah, Lucas, why don't you give people your thoughts? Because I almost want to just cede the floor to you this morning, because we were going to look at some different things to open the show, and obviously there's a great deal of offensive line discussion that we're going to have, given that Lawan's on the show later this afternoon. But why don't I just let you have a moment, decompress. The microphone is yours. Why don't you tell people how you're feeling right
now?
Well,
first of all, how dare they? I saw that on Twitter today, and CBS goes ahead. The official CBS account says, "Hello, Big Ten," something stupid to that nature, and plays the theme music with a compilation of Big Ten highlights, fan shots at an Iowa game, Rutgers, Northwestern. It's not right. And the worst part is the SEC is on CBS for two more years.
Yep.
So we have to sit through and watch that theme with Alabama and Tennessee, or with Georgia and Florida and Jacksonville. And we're not going to get to enjoy it as much, because we know it's going to be sullied by Big Ten games in a few years.
What that doesn't hit is...
Wah, wah.
Shut up, Kirby.
I hear a bunch of sour grapes by somebody who's been spoon-fed the SEC on every available outlet.
This is coming from a Big Ten
America.
Fan, Kirby. You're a Big Ten fan, Kirby.
An Ohio native has infiltrated the show. But on a serious note, when you look comparatively at the deal right now that the Big Ten has, Fox, NBC, CBS, 7 years, $8.8 billion total, an average annual value of $1.1 billion. The SEC, with the deal starting in 2024 with ESPN, expires in 2034, 10 years, a total of $3 billion, an average value of $300 million.
That's so good. It's so good. And listen, now you know why UCLA and USC made the decision that they did. This has almost single-handedly saved UCLA athletics across the board, as you well know. Brett, hit the music again. I wanna get Lucas hyped for an upcoming in 2 years Big Ten matchup. Give me the CBS music.
The audacity!
You are looking live at the CBS broadcast on a Saturday, a big college football Saturday for Illinois versus Northwestern.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Yeah, can't wait for that rematch of Penn State-Illinois for another 9 overtimes where both teams can't convert a damn 2-point conversion for 7 straight series.
How about a little bit of Indiana-Rutgers? Does that do anything for you?
Oh, yeah, all 12,000 fans in Indiana Stadium are going to be hyped up the Big Ten on CBS.
What about Wisconsin with 9 points total in the entire game?
No, Wisconsin you'll live with, because at least they play high-level football.
Fair.
But, yeah, that group of 12,000 Indiana shirtless fans jumping around to the CBS music, it's just
I don't know what's worse.
Chef's kiss.
Like a mediocre, low-level Big Ten matchup or Ohio State-Michigan with the SEC on CBS theme. I don't know what will feel worse, although Ohio State-Michigan will probably always get that noon kickoff. Fox will get that early slate, and that's going to be the quote-unquote A game for the Big Ten once this deal starts to take place. But it's just wrong. And the worst part is it's not even going to be their best game, right?
Yeah.
Like the SEC, that 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central game on CBS is the game of the weekend. Well, for the Big Ten, that's going to be the early one, the 11 a.m. noon kickoff on Fox with Gus Johnson screaming at you through his TV. And then you're going to flip to Northwestern Iowa for the Big Ten on CBS game. It's a disgrace. It's a travesty.
All right, settle down. I gave you almost 6 minutes there. Do you feel better?
I feel better, but it's all going to come back to me when I watch that first SEC on CBS game this year.
Well, you got 2 more years to work it out and to, you know, talk about it with your therapist and everything else that you need in between. It's just not fair. Damn it. 615-737-1045 is how you can jump in. It's just an outrageous amount of money. I mean, and it... like, it's going to continue to go up. It's the contract. The contract is the richest ever for a college athletic conference, and the latest landmark, basically, in this era where surging value of live sports rights is going to continue to trump everything in entertainment. Whether you are looking at, I mean, it is going to be football, 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 and more football, and then occasionally you'll make some money on a basketball game here and there. But for the purposes of the television rights, this thing has completely ballooned to the point where you are now seeing a $7.5 billion deal. That's at crazy. Minimum.
Think at- about that. $1 billion per year for the conference. In the last 5 years of the deal, every Big Ten school will get $100 million in TV money. I mean, it is mind-boggling. We thought the SEC deal with ESPN was massive. It was a market setter.
Well, and that's what I was just looking at, because I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning.
It's
they're
pennies.
Reporting on this, because now, you know, now you got the Wall Street Journal involved in sports because of the size of the deals that are getting done. The SEC, basically, they did something. So this was last year when they added Oklahoma and Texas for the 2025 season. In 2024, the SEC's new deal with Disney and ESPN takes effect. The conference will generate more than $800 million annually in media rights, according to the reporting there. So think about just the jump in a year from $800 million to $1 billion. $1 billion, basically, overnight. It is an insane amount of monopoly money, and it's just going to continue to rise. That's why, like, I know college football purists get bent out of shape about this, and I understand. Like, the thing that makes college football so cool is the traditions that institutions have, the fact that it's embedded in a lot of families going back generations and generations, whether it's season tickets or just the simple idea of attending a game with your family and continuing to pass on that tradition, and frankly, it just being it making geographical sense, because now it obviously does not. But, like, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Amazon and Apple to get in on the college football money, the live stream or the live rights money, because it's going to go from $1 billion a year to $2 billion a year in an instant. In an instant. Because $2 billion is a drop in a bucket for a company like Apple. They're just throwing money at MLS right now because they can.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm going to watch USC play Michigan in the Big Ten. Like, I watch Big Ten football, but it's just an aesthetic thing. It's going to anger me incessantly.
Kirby's just throwing his hands up in the air. I know. It's just entitlement, Kirby. There's nothing we can do with it.
Oh, stop it.
It's just pure entitlement at
this
point.
Stop it.
Well, I mean, basically, let's do a live comparison here, all right? You're ripping Iowa and Maryland. Okay, what about Vanderbilt in a bad Kentucky game on, you know, 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Who the hell wants to watch that?
Well, they banish it to the SEC network.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's never the – Vanderbilt almost never gets
okay,
that.
Or the South Carolina in a bad Arkansas year when they're off. I mean, you know, it's not like you've got 27 Alabama teams in the SEC. You've got four.
But there's only one that's going to appear on that CBS game,
right,
Kirby. The rest of them are basically
going to
get
relegated. That slate is sacred. That slate is Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the biggest rivalries. No, the Big Ten, the biggest game of the weekend will be that Fox game, that first game with Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt.
As it should be.
Right, which is what I'm saying. That BC game is going to be the 3:30 game.
Oh, I understand all the demographics. I'm just saying.
Kirby's just tired of your
All opinion. Is right in the world now. So
yeah.
Sit down, young man.
Not an Ohio State Buckeye. Kirby Allen Kirby. All right, so we are live from Titans training camp.
I'm going home.
Yeah. All right, we'll see if Lucas can, you know, calm down from his hissy in the commercial break. What we're going to talk about coming up next, Ryan Tannehill and his connection with Austin Hooper. It's been one of the most crisp things that we've seen consistently at practice. You're going to hear from the quarterback on that. He spoke yesterday to the media. Stick around. Live from training camp, it's 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Tannehill, keeping on the left side, extends the ball. Touchdown, Titans! How about a little finger roll? 1-7, and the Titans are back in front.
The Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Visit springhillac.com.
That's voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, on the call of a Ryan Tannehill touchdown run from, I assume, last season. Brett, what game was that from?
The Buffalo Bills game.
The Buffalo Bills game. An exciting game on Monday Night Football.
As Tannehill throws another touchdown pass to Dontrell Hilliard.
Buddy, these quarterbacks have been out here getting after this Tampa Bay defense. Do you see that ball Willis fit in there to Chigakonkwo?
That was one of the best balls we've seen from him in team drills all camp.
So they had it was a designed run for Willis to go to the left of the formation, and he scrambled in, but it got called back on a holding penalty. You said the hold looked like it was on Mason Kinsey?
Yeah, I saw a 1-2 pop up, and Kinsey was in the huddle.
Okay, so at that point, on the very next play, Malik Willis comes back and hits Chig in a really, really tight window in the back of the end zone for the touchdown pass, and now Ryan Tannehill and their group of offensive players has just wrapped up their work as Logan Woodside gets ready to take the snap.
Worth mentioning, Tannehill had one of his worst reads of joint practices so far, tried to fit it into a double coverage window to NWI in the end zone, and it should have been picked off.
Hit the DB right in the hands. Cody Hollister for six from Logan Woodside with the, I don't know, are we calling it the third team offense now?
Spicy.
I think so. But what we want to talk about here before we get into some offensive line previewing, also we have Titans tickets to give away today. I got tickets to Saturday's preseason game, a pair of them that we are going to give to a caller at some point today. So make sure that you're listening in the 11 o'clock hour. Maybe LaJuan will be on the air with us.
Yeah, please don't spam the phone line right now. The tickets are not being given away right now.
Who are you talking to? Wait,
everybody.
What, you just make it? You don't get to make demands on this.
Oh, you just said, but you said we're not doing the tickets away right now because last week, last week you said, hey, 12:20, we're giving something away. It was like 10:30, and I got like five calls. We're not giving away the tickets yet.
Yeah, no, sometimes people are bad listeners. That's okay. We'll get through it. Yes, don't. Okay, Brett, if you want somebody to be strident, because if there's going to be a likability problem on this show, it is my burden to bear. So if you want to yell at people, you need to do it through me so you can be the likable one. It's a formula that worked very successfully for Lucas over the last year and a half. That's just kind of, everybody knows their role. It's like a good offense. You got to have your parts in place. But anyway, let's talk about the quarterback in particular. Ryan Tannehill was asked about Austin Hooper yesterday and the chemistry and connection that they've continued to build. I want you to hear from the Titans quarterback when he met with the media.
Yeah, no doubt. Austin's done a great job for us. You mentioned we have several guys that are either new to this team or kind of roles stepping up on this team, and it's been a fun camp for me, just building those relationships, building that chemistry, you know, having the conversations, you know, day-to-day basis on what I'm expecting and how they're seeing certain things. So that chemistry just continues to build and to grow, and Austin did some really good things in that 2 minute. He's winning one-on-one matchups and making plays. So, you know, when a guy has shown to consistently do that, it builds a lot of confidence.
Now that was Ryan Tannehill speaking with the media yesterday about Austin Hooper. So for him and Hooper, that has probably been the thing, and I think I said this yesterday, that's the thing that I feel the most concrete about. Like Ryan Tannehill and the connection with the tight ends, how it comes along with Chig, Jeff Swaim, he's been working with now for a couple of years. They have an understanding, and I like Jeff Swaim infinitely better as a three than I do as a one. Oh, look at that, Ramon and Slayer here, late to practice. Slackers, the both of them. Yeah, we'll go. Maybe we'll. There's a lot of people out here today. Nate Washington, Mark Mariani. We're gonna have a lot of friends come visit throughout the course of the show today. But I think that as you look for that thing to grow and develop, and basically what you're looking from them offensively early on. Things to get the quarterback in rhythm. What did we see yesterday on the 2 minute drill with Tannehill and Hooper? Three straight completions to Austin Hooper to continue to get the offense going. And then once they had the opportunities, they started to spread the ball around a little more. Hooper is not somebody who is going to be overly explosive, but he's big, he's physical, he has the body in the red zone to be able to make him an easy target if all you got to do is box out at that point. Made him hugely successful in Atlanta, less so in Cleveland. But Hooper's not, they're not Chig in the same way. It's not yards after the catch type of stuff that you're looking for. It's not explosive plays. It's those essential yards, those easy completions. And my hope is that it encourages them to throw the ball on first down more, which is the easiest down to throw. If you can get Austin Hooper for 6 or 7 yards at a time as opposed to running Derek into a nose tackle for 1 or 2 or maybe a loss, like, that would do so much for the efficiency of this group as they try and look to kind of rebound and course correct from what they were a year ago.
So Hooper might be poised to have his best year as far as production in 3 years. Last season with the Browns, played 16 games, 38 catches, 345 yards, 3 scores in the previous year with the Browns, 2020, 435 yards, averaged 9.5 yards per catch, and 4 touchdowns, and that was coming off of a nearly 800-yard season in his final year in Atlanta.
So it is, I mean, the numbers were good, and they got him paid, and that, listen, if Austin Hooper does well here, it could be a similar situation. He's on one of those prove-it deals. A lot of tight ends around the league got that kind of a contract this year, but for Hooper, it's a great opportunity for him to capitalize because he's only like 27 or 28, right?
And he was out there for a while this offseason. I mean, remember the first time he spoke to the media, you know, what was it about the Titans? What was the face? Like, well, there was an offer, so yeah. And so I took it, and, you know. They offered me money to play football, so
it's kind of
what happened.
You know, so I think that's very relatable, as a matter of fact.
That's probably true more often than not in the NFL, but players just won't say that in a press conference, right? Like, it's the scheme and the coaches, and it's a great culture. Most of the time, it's, no, they offered me, and I want a job.
Honestly, it's one of my biggest frustrations in sports, the way that I think it is romanticized, the idea that, you know, players want to play for this team or that team, or they're given, you know, that they are as invested as the fan base is. And I understand why people feel that way, but of course not. Like, this is their job. You go with the place that's going to give you, one, the best opportunity to succeed, and also is going to compensate you justly. Those are the kind of things that go into a decision for so many NFL free agents, especially at that stage in your career where you're kind of like in between. You're young enough to where you're definitely worth a contract, and a contract is likely to come your way, but you've dealt with a couple of different things and a quarterback with a bum arm last year, and it's really, really hurt your production and, frankly, your perception, the perception of you as a player and the kind of film that you put out. Because it's real easy for your body language to get bad when Baker Mayfield just completely overshoots you or throws it at your ankles.
So we put it to a poll at Buck Rising on Twitter. An interesting question. Who has more catches for the Titans in 2022? Early on, 61% say Austin Hooper over Treylon Burks.
That is interesting. Austin Hooper over Treylon Burks. Well, I would say that. I would agree with that by volume. Now we have our first training camp fight, it would seem, at midfield. Over there on the third field.
Yeah, we do not have a good view over there. Yeah, there was it's a second. I did see there was another scuffle. Ben Arthur of the Tennessean reported it, that Jordan Ruse of the Titans, a depth piece on the offensive line, got into it with a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Patrick O'Connor. A brief scuffle where Ruse's helmet flew off, and it was broken up very quickly.
That's not something that they need. I was just talking to somebody with their PR staff about, you know, it's been a very calm camp. Because so, I'm watching videos coming out of the Patriots and the Panthers just beating.
Oh my goodness!
Just beating the holy hell out of each other.
Oh, Brett, do we have the no fighting audio?
The provocation from the cavalry. No fighting.
Oi!
No fighting. No fighting. Now fighting.
No fighting.
Good.
That's Mike Vrabel to the Titans before practice today.
That, of course, is famously from Peaky Blinders. No fighting, no effing fighting, no fighting, and then everybody fights.
Jeffrey Simmons, the most likely, after what yesterday, the only, like, brush up was between Simmons and I think like a director of player personnel or something for the Bucks that apparently threw a football at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone threw a football at Jeffrey. He like kind of brushed into someone and the guy threw a football at him, and
God.
Simmons got mad. That's as close as it got yesterday, but today I guess we've had a little bit of pushing.
All right, so Tehran is reporting that Luke, is it Gedke? I don't know how to properly pronounce that last name, but Luke something, and Jeff Simmons just got into it. Simmons got caught in a pile. It's Goedeke, however that's pronounced. That guy landed on top of Jeff. He didn't like it. Mike Vrabel came in to break it up because, of course, Mike is going to break it up because he's bigger than half the guys out there.
The Panthers-Pat situation was messy.
It's wild.
That's like worst case for a head coach.
Yeah, well, no, that's right, because I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I can't remember who it was, but basically, like, they're doing this in New England, and one of the Patriots' defensive linemen got, like, tossed into the stands and rolled up on a fan. Now, I think they gave the woman tickets to a regular season game.
Yep.
You know, they're going to take care of
her. They offered her medical care. She said no. She's had, like, a swollen foot. But it stemmed from a late hit on McCaffrey. And then McCaffrey gets up and spikes Dietrich Wise, the former Arkansas star, plays for the Patriots. McCaffrey gets up and spikes the ball at his feet after the late hit. And then, not a brawl, but, you know, big old pile ensued and went into the fans.
So that's the kind of stuff that you're obviously avoiding as Randy Bullock. It's always not actually taking the attempt.
No. Brett Kern is holding, though.
So, okay, that's the kind of stuff. And we're going to set expectations more tomorrow. Like, you know, we have a baseline for a lot of guys that played in the preseason last Thursday, a week ago from today. And tomorrow what we're going to get into in more detail is kind of, all right, we have a baseline. What is the next step for player X, Y, and Z? For Malik Willis, for Rashad Weaver, for these guys who are, you know, obviously going to play roles in this for this football team in some form or fashion, but still are in the stage of their career where they're having to show that they're capable of doing so. Basically, a progress report is what we're going to get into in greater detail. But more, I mean, specifically today, we're going to focus on the offensive line. I do want to read this tweet from Ben Arthur earlier, because apparently Logan Ryan is not having the greatest of days out here on the field. He got put in a spin cycle by Kyle Phillips earlier, and apparently got trucked by Hassan Haskins, the rookie running back.
Yeah, apparently that sent the Titans sideline into a frenzy.
Oh, so that's what started it. Okay.
Oh, I don't know if that's what started any scuffle.
I'm just saying,
Titans players got pretty hyped seeing Hassan Haskins truck Logan Ryan.
You're talking, well, understandably so. That's a bad day for a veteran to get got by two rookies in that kind of a circumstance. I have a lot of questions about that Bucs defensive group, just the way that it's changed around. Levante David's still a stud. Devin White is just such a freakishly gifted athlete that even some of the miscues that he's had, I know he had a bit of a down year in 2021, but he just makes so many plays for them. But their secondary and what they have as far as their rush now is concerned.
Yeah, which is a huge part of what won them the Super Bowl.
Oh, of course. Of course. The ability to get pressure is critical for any football team, especially a football team that's got Tom Brady on the other side of things.
Speaking of which, have you noticed Shaq Barrett at all? Is he out here this week?
Shaq Barrett is 58?
Yes.
I have not noticed Shaq Barrett out here. But in full, well, I mean, we haven't seen him, though, because I saw 98 earlier in the position that Shaq Barrett typically plays in. Maybe we look at Jenna Lane's Twitter timeline about who traveled and who did not to kind of refresh ourselves on the Buccaneers situation, because I know there's a lot of guys that are here that aren't practicing and a lot of guys that just flat didn't make the trip.
Yeah.
But rebounds today, who are we looking for? 615-737-1045, because I've got the first nominee.
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably would have the same one, right? It's probably the obvious pick, so why don't you go ahead?
What are you saying, that I'm obvious?
Well, no, I mean, I think there's one that stands out more than others. There's one that I won't say was called out by Mike Vrabel because he was asked about him, but one that needs to have a better day than most for the Titans.
Caleb Farley. I would like to see Caleb Farley have a better day in day two than in day one of these joint training camp practices. He got by a variety of different wide receivers yesterday. One-on-one drills are obviously not ideal for the defensive back. We talked to Jason McCourty, in fact, yesterday about what it is that, and in fact, I'm going to DM Brett that audio because I thought it was really good. Basically what he's looking for the defensive backs or from the defensive backs in those one-on-one drills specifically.
Mickey Ryan did tweet out a clip of Farley getting the better of Julio in one of those drills today, which did not happen yesterday.
Is it fair to say that Julio Jones has been the best wide receiver for the Bucs that we've seen out here?
Oh, absolutely. Well, he's been one of the only ones. I mean, you have Scotty Miller out there. You have I had forgotten that Jarrett Stearns, the stud receiver out of Western Kentucky, who had ridiculous numbers last year, is a UDFA on this team. And in a lot of camps, he might be making a roster, but the Bucs have so many receivers, they're just not out here. Julio's the only one. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin, no Russell Gage. So, yeah, and Rick Stroud joined Blaine and Mickey yesterday, and they asked him about Julio's camp in Tampa, and the first word out of his mouth was phenomenal. Yeah. He was just so much praise for Julio Jones, and he's looked like Julio Jones, and he might have gotten more reps on this field yesterday than he has did at any point for the Titans in training camp last year.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you'll remember, like, he made a play in this end zone back here last year during training camp where he went up for a 50-50 ball, brought it down, but came down really hard. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they basically bubble-wrapped him for the rest of training camp. Mm-hmm. He traveled to Tampa Bay last year, him and A.J. both. Neither of them practiced against the Bucs. So you're looking at a situation where now Julio Jones looks like he's playing higher level football than he was a year ago for the Tennessee Titans to the benefit of Tampa Bay. Going back to the Farley train of thought, though, I want you to hear from Jason McCourty, former Titans defensive back who now hosts Good Morning Football. He was on the radio show yesterday, and I asked him, when you're watching these one-on-one drills that all of us vultures tweet out during training camp, what are you looking for specifically from the DB? This was J-Mac.
Yeah, well, I'll talk specifically to one-on-one reps because I was watching those earlier today. And for me, I love to watch the press technique. And I'm talking about what happens right at the line of scrimmage. I think sometimes we'll look at a one-on-one rep and be like, oh, he went three reps and a guy caught all three balls on him. It's just like, yeah, I get that. But it's two players on the field, 53 yards going across, and wherever they're lining up, vertical, there's nothing else on the field. There's no linemen. There's no rush. There's no safety to look off. So the drill is for the offense. But to me, as a cornerback, where you can get the most out of it is you get a chance to get up there. There's no run. There's nothing else to think about. You can get up there and work your feet and your hands and try to perfect your craft and your press technique. And I think that's a huge part. I know when I played, whenever I did a one-on-one rep, I did every rep press coverage. Because once you got into practice, coach may call cover three, he may call cover two. There's different coverages which force me to play off. So I always felt like I'm going to get my off work in the course of practice. But depending upon when you're in, what the play call is, what the receiver split is, there's so many different variables, you may not be able to get that press technique in. And if you're a team that likes to call that, you want to gain as much confidence as you can at the line of scrimmage. So for me, when I'm watching, I want to see a guy's hand placement and press technique and how he moves his feet, whether he wins the route.
Oh, don't fade it down yet, Brett.
Ball or not. Yeah, it's important. You want to see finish. But specifically in that drill, I want to see what a guy's line of scrimmage technique looks like.
We just saw a nice example. This is Jason McCourty, former Titans corner, now working for Good Morning Football, on the line with us yesterday, talking about what he's looking for the defensive backs in those one-on-ones. And I thought it was really interesting to hear him talk about, you know, just working on press coverage in those specific situations. Obviously, there are going to be reps where you get beat, and reps that you are going to have the ability to make plays. But at this point, the situation for Caleb Farley is, so far, it's been a bit improved. So we'll keep you updated on that throughout the course of the show. We're going to talk about a situation that's going on with one MVP, one multi-time MVP candidate for an NFL team who is absolutely running his wide receivers through the ringer. The audio is hilarious. You're going to hear it coming up next.
Season, Buck.
Okay, so
it's football season. Just imagine 69,000 people cheering on the Titans as they run out of the tunnel to this song.
Oh goodness. Well, Titans have a home game on Saturday.
We got a pair of
tickets to give away on the show a little later on at 11:20 to be specific. So be listening at 11:20 for your chance to win some Titans tickets for Saturday's preseason game. Welcome back, live from Titans training camp. as we broadcast live here. It looks like we've got Bucks ones on offense against the Titans ones on defense as Caleb Farley just made an interception.
Hard to tell.
So. He just, whoever it was, he went up and got it, man. That was a beautiful play. I can't see who they're dapping.
There will
up.
Be an onslaught of tweets momentarily.
We will see tweets shortly. I just, it looked very, those long, the arms looked long. I don't even know if he's out on the field right now, as a matter of fact. Let me know as soon as you see who made the play.
Little bit of news, multiple reports saying that there will be news on Deshaun Watson's situation today.
Okay.
So something to monitor.
So we will keep you updated as new information becomes available on the appeal process for Deshaun Watson.
It was Farley, by the way.
It was Caleb Farley that made the interception on the play, the kind of things that you like to see in a bounce-back day. So Malik Willis currently on the field right now, would have been absolutely sacked if that had been real pressure, but a pass completed to Racy McMath over the middle nonetheless. Now, there's a situation that is arising with one, what would you call it, NFC contender?
Oh, certainly.
Not certainly a lot. Listen, you seem to be entrenched in your position that it was the Rams and everybody else in the NFC.
That's fair, but Aaron Rodgers on the roster makes them a contender.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers is having problems with
just his like arm. Tom Brady on the roster makes the Bucs a contender. Same logic.
Aaron Rodgers is having problems with his new wide receivers in Green Bay. He's not a happy camper. Because, Lucas, you and I were talking about this on the phone yesterday, and you said this was the first time in Rodgers' career where he's really had to go through it with a young group of skill players.
Yeah, it struck me because no Devontae Adams, obviously, in Green Bay. I believe he's been there since 2013, 2014, in that range. Before that, Jordy Nelson had been on that roster since 2008. Randall Cobb is in there for several years in the middle of that stretch. So it's the first time he's having to do what Ryan Tannehill's having to do in camp this year. There's a couple of guys that have played a lot of football, like Sammy Watkins and Alan Lazard, and he has that rapport with Robert Tonyan, but you've got Christian Watson in there, the rookie out of South Dakota State. I mean, it's an interesting little combo of wide receivers where you look at it and you're like, who in the world is wide receiver one? Is it Cobb by default?
Yeah. Well, since Aaron Rodgers literally moved mountains for them to trade back or trade again for Randall Cobb, again, holding the football, that would have been a sack on Malik Willis.
Well, he's not going down. Tannehill got sacked and went down, got clipped, and then got landed on. Someone landed on. You didn't see that play?
No, I missed it.
Tannehill held the ball too long in the pocket. Everybody was covered. It was 6-7 seconds in the pocket. He gets clipped at the knees, goes down, and one of his offensive linemen, didn't get to see who it was, landed on his head, like the opposite of what you want from your starter in a team drill during training camp.
So, with Aaron Rodgers and his new wide receivers, he is going through it a little bit. The headline that I read from Rob Demoski of ESPN, who covers the Packers for a long time, rip them one day, meet with them the next. Those were the last 2 days in the life of Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers as he gets on, as he's trying to get his young group of wide receivers ready for a rapidly approaching regular season. So he's been frustrated with the wide receivers. He has now asked them to report yesterday morning at 8:45 a.m. to the quarterback's room when they arrived. When they arrived, reportedly, they found all three quarterbacks plus the key members of the offensive coaching staff who work directly on the passing game in the room. So it's not like a vet hazing type of thing, like meet at the quarterback room at 8:45. We're not telling you anything.
Yeah, we're blindfolding you.
It's meet at the quarterback room at 8:45, and we're going to have all of your bosses.
Yeah, they're all standing at the front of the room, arms crossed, staring at them as they file in.
It's like walking into a board meeting that you didn't know was happening, and it's all about you. Mm-hmm. Like, that has to be pretty... Whoa. What happened?
Sports news on 104.5 The Zone.
From Pro Football Talk, it's being rumored, and he says that his source says it is confirmed. It will be an 11-game, $5 million fine for Deshaun Watson.
11 games officially handed down in the appeal process for Deshaun Watson. That coming from Pro Football Talk just now. Thank you, Brett, for the breaking news update. I will go to Pro Football Talk's Twitter now and find the tweet. It is, so source says, according to Pro Football Talk, 11 games, the $5 million fine for Deshaun Watson. They've got proof of the ruling in an NFL email that I guess is about to be sent around to all of us. I'm going to keep my eyes updated on my inbox.
Well, that means that Deshaun Watson's debut in the 2022 season will be at home against these Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wait, but they play Houston in week 12.
I don't know how that works with their bye week, but the 12th game of the season for the Cleveland Browns is against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. So that's the league gets a longer suspension, but they don't get the result that they're looking for, which is to keep Watson off the field from starting in Houston.
No, you know what? I apologize. You're right. There is no bye week in there. It is in Houston, his debut. The Bucs game will be the final game.
He's debuting in Houston?
His debut will be in Houston. I had that wrong.
Oh, my God.
His final game, the final game of his suspension will be against the Bucs. So that'll be a Jacoby Brissett game. And then, yes, he will play in Houston for his first game back.
How could they let that happen?
Yeah. You couldn't make it a 12-game suspension?
I mean, on first reaction, like, why would he even want to play in that game? I don't understand. There's so many questions that I have around this situation. We can talk more about this coming up next. We're going to preview the Titans' offensive line. Taylor Lewan is going to be here in the next hour, and we'll have Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, towards the end of the show. So we'll react to the Deshaun Watson situation, 11 games, a $5 million fine in the appeal process from the NFL, and his first start against the Texans. Holy bleep. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.